Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time that we've set aside, and pray, Lord, that you would honour us with your presence, with your inspiration, with your help, with your blessing, with your comforting, with your straightening. Lord, our daily bread, I pray you this day. I do pray especially, Lord, for Norman at this time, and for whatever might be given him that just making him sick right now, if you would help him through that. I pray for Steve, for John McGowan, for Link and Dr. Stein. Please look after each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray you for our brothers and sisters across the world. Wherever the full counsel of your word is being preached, I pray a blessing on the teachers and preachers and hearers of it. We indeed thank you, Lord, for loving us and for your great, free, forever, and sure salvation. And I pray you, Lord, please, that we would take and make the best use of it. Help us, Lord, to be as cunning as serpents and gentle as doves. And Lord, to be busy looking for souls. We leave these things at your feet. We pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number. And we thank you for the quietness regarding the cars. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are going to start in a little black book, just in chronological order, page order. That means number 13 in the wee black book, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Then number 13 in the wee black book, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Bye.
great Jehovah. Amen. We're staying in the same wee book. I think we've got 38 and 39. I think we even have 36 to sing as well. Yep, we'll do number 36. It's next on our list. Oh, I want to see him. If you're fit, stand with me as we sing it. If not, remain seated as long as you make a joyful noise, praising the God that saved your souls. Oh, I want to see him. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4.
Souls to Calvary, the truth that brings them home.
If you will, come on ahead and bring us to the end, brother.
Turn back to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cut of tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman, of the axe, they take away silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who will not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is the doctrine of valleys. Silver spread into pits is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz, the work of the workman, and at the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of high men. But the Lord is the true God. He is a living God and an everlasting King. And at his wrath, earth shall tremble, and nations shall not be able to do it by his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods have not made their heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapours to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings of rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge, every founder is provided with a good image, for his own image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and work of errors. In the time of the visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like unto them, not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord opposes his name. Gather up thy word out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. The Lord saith, Lord, Lord, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me, for my heart, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, myself and my curtains. For the pastures have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. Amen.
Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you for that Bible reading. It's as applicable today as it was 2,500, 3,000 years ago. Does anybody have any prayer requests to add to our prayer list? Go forward, Will.
Alison, she works on the Tesco, so if you have any on the Tesco, she's always up there. She's looking for a new job, so I'm running through us and see it. So hope she goes there, and hope I'm most part to see it. She's a nice person, good worker as well.
There we go. Pray for Alison. Anybody else got any more prayer requests? Well, you
pray for my eye and my chest.
Okay, eye and chest. How's about private prayer requests? And maybe John? Yeah. Will? William? Okay, thank you. thank you. Well, the Lord knows what those are. We don't need to know the details, and we'll just pray for those whenever we get to that part of our prayer time. Anybody, anything interesting happened over the last few days that you would like to thank the Lord for?
Help desk, taking calls at work.
Getting through work?
Yeah.
Getting through the help desk call. Trouble at the outreach, and I'm glad of that. We had a wee bit of fellowship yesterday. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and if there's no other prayer requests, nope. And then we'll sing a song or two. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we'll come before you again, this time with a shopping list of our prayer requests, and Father, I pray you please that you would work in our lives and help us to be an answer to those prayers that we can be an answer to, but more importantly, Lord, that you would go before us, that you would work in the hearts and minds of those that we know and have witnessed to, and Lord, that you would convict them of sin and judgment to come, and help us, Lord, to be your good children. Pray for that wee girl Allison that Will's talking about, for William's health. I pray you too for all of our private prayer requests, just especially for Norman at this time, for his health issue, whatever it is, that could be resolved by a visit to the hospital. And Lord, we pray too for our country, for Canada and Europe, and for America at this time, as we seem to have come under a great amount of attack from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And those that are walking the corridors of power, Lord, are just downright wicked. And I pray you please for your good hand upon them, that they would be opposed at every turn until they turn to you, whether it be in their work, in their sleep, in their leisure time, Lord, that outpouring of your Holy Spirit would convict them. I just want to say daily, but even hourly, Lord, and give them no rest day and night until they deal with conviction of sin and judgment to come. Father, you know everything that's going on, and especially, as Will was talking about, the idols that people have set up in their lives and in their hearts, made out of stuff that can't move, that will all perish when the world passes away in fire. I pray, Father, please, especially even for the LGBT subscribers, Lord, that even now they would be convicted of sin and judgment to come, that someone would be there to point them in the direction of the cross. Please look out for our families at this time, Lord. Please protect them. Help us to be faithful in fighting our corner against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, we pray you for strength. And Lord, for constant reminder that you're always there for us, helping us, bearing us up, sending angels to minister to us, listening to our prayer requests, Lord, and answering whenever we give you a moment. And Father, don't be done with us. You know all of our needs. We pray that you would supply them according to your will. Please continue to work on our hearts and minds and lives. And Lord, we look forward to seeing you soon. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. Amen. We'll do one out of the big hymn book, if you'd like to take a turn there. Not that one. Let's do hymn number 102. No, let's do 103. We haven't sung Under His Wings for a while. 103 in the big book is Under His Wings. I haven't sung this one very often, but I reckon you'll remember the tune whenever it starts again. Just remain seated for this one, folks. We're switching books again, gentlemen and lady, if you would like to turn. We'll do number 39 next, and we'll sing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds as our closing hymn. I think that'll be them all covered. Number 39, Morning is Broken. If you're able, stand with me again as we sing this good old song. Peter chapter 3, the Word of God says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. We are going to be taking in particular verse number 16 as our text, where it talks about certain souls that rest the scriptures, many of the scriptures, unto their own destruction. Well, would you pray for us, please, and then we'll continue.
Dear Father, thank you for your love and your loving kindness towards us, that we listen to your Son died for us, Lord, and shed his blood on the precious cross of Calvary for us, and that if only we accept you, we are trusting you, that your Son, Lord, for salvation, and repent of our sins, that he is able and worthy to accept us, Lord, and the family of God, Lord. And we thank you for salvation and eternal life, Lord, as well, Lord, through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have asked you, God, with our name, Lord, you shine a bright, keep safe, and all the light of the Lord. We have drawn a close walk with you as well, Lord. Also, we have called, where there is, Lord, for our joy, drawn a close walk with you, protecting, keeping safe, and well, Lord, as well, Lord. We have saved the Father, John, with the call, Lord. Heal him, I think, Father, we find the source of our troubles and our damage over there, Lord. Heal him, I think, Father, we find her and Stephen, to church, to save the souls, by the practice, Lord. Lord. With Norman, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord. May not be a clot, they sick with Lord, but Lord, be healed by the power, Lord, and keep them from the touches of death and sickness, Lord, healed by the power, as well. Also with Pat and Steve, Lord, with Pat's heart murmurs, Lord, and Lord, all our health comes, Lord, may heal them and bring them back to church, Lord. With Steve as well, Lord, help Lord, diabetes and the Dallas, Lord. When in the struggle, the treatment, Lord, keep us safe and well. Also, we have John Barfield, Lord, help him with his health, Lord, keep us strong, Lord, John, push for you. We have Israel this time, Lord, and we protect them on all sides, Lord, on our enemies and our borders, Lord. Protect them, keep them, keep us safe and well. Save the Jews, save the Israeli Muslims, Israeli Arabs, and Israeli Christians, Lord, and bring to the through the lower cross, Lord, and we put the trust in the world, true God. After the Son of Jesus Christ. Therefore, our country, Lord, we convict the leaders, Lord, politicians and the leaders of our country, Lord, and Lord, bring to the foot of the lower cross, Lord, that Christian laws may be established back again, Lord, and sick and evil laws may be revoked, Lord, forever, Lord. Therefore, in this world, Lord, and keep us away from it, Lord. Lord, you may save the LGBT. Whatever, Lord, people that were in the marsh yesterday, Lord, and they may take from their civil lifestyle, Lord, and do a close work for you, Lord, that they may put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, Lord. And so, only the Lord can change them. We can't change them, but only the Lord, and the mighty power that can change them as well, Lord. We have come to know the gospel, Lord, and give us an unction from high, Lord, and reach out to our hearts, Lord, and bring us more tune with thee, and then, Lord,
amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 is one of those chapters that at least the first part of it goes hand in hand with 2 Timothy 3 and giving us a glimpse of, well, from the disciples' point of view, of what it was going to be like in the last days before the Lord comes back. And of course, it challenges us then to consider what sort of people we should be. It also does give us a look-see into the mind, the thoughts of those that reject Jesus Christ and reject him constantly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is just a list of the characteristics of lost souls, and of course one of the foundational causes of that being men and women indeed that are traitors in the pulpit. But here we have, I'm just going to give a quick blow by blow as we go, we see people that literally refuse to acknowledge that God exists. They say things have gone on just as they have forever. There's no creation, there was no time when the world was flooded because of the sin of man. That just never happened. And the Bible says, and if we were honestly to consider it right now, this is absolutely true because people are willingly ignorant of the scriptures. You don't have to be a genius. You don't even have to be able to read or write anymore to find out about what the Bible says. You can quite literally speak to your phone and your phone will tell you how to get saved if Google or whomever hasn't edited that out. But you can quite literally, I think, with the Bible apps, you can have your phone read you the Bible without having to know anything about it. People are willingly ignorant in this day and age. With the fulfillment of the scriptures, I think it's in Daniel 11, about the knowledge being greatly increased, there is quite literally no reason for any soul in this world today not knowing about the scriptures. Not only do they not know about the scriptures and reject the flood, in doing all of that, they hope and pray that this world will continue on for billions of years and maybe become an episode of Star Trek or Star Wars or Doctor Who with our warp drives and our replicators and their phasers and photon torpedoes and robots doing everything for us. That's what, honestly, people honestly believe the fairy tale that if we give something enough time, everything will work out magically, supernaturally, or by mistake, for the better. Just don't do anything about it. Just wait. Just watch the clock hands go round a few times. Just enjoy yourself while you're here. Everything will be grand. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, given enough time, everything will run down. The Bible says the world will wax old as doth a garment. It will run down to nothing. But the Lord says that no matter whether they believe in the flood or they believe the prophecy of the coming destruction of the world in fire, and it's detailed in Revelation 20, whenever all the armies of the world, after having been under the rulership of God for 1,000 years, they hate God. And they come against Jerusalem and the camp of the saints, and the word of God records fire coming down from heaven and consuming the whole world. And the next thing you read about is all of those lost souls standing in front of the great white throne of judgment. Do you know the great thing about free will, friends? You might not be able to do whatever you like, but you can believe whatever you like. You can think whatever you like. You can be deluded into whatever you think is going on there is going to affect the world out there. You can be that deluded. It doesn't matter how many people think differently to God. It doesn't. The Word of God says there's a broad road that leads to destruction, and it says many, but most folks in the world are on it. They think differently to God, but they're still on the road to destruction, and all of those that reach their final destination on that road, their final destination is the hell, the great white throne of judgment, and then the lake of fire. And it doesn't matter what they think. The Bible oftentimes refers to us as ants, or little children. I don't know about you, how good your eyesight is, but I would be hard-pressed to see an ant right now. But I can just imagine me walking out in the dark. I think there's an ant's nest around here somewhere. I walk out there, and I could step on hundreds of them before I even realize they're there. And they might not like that. And they might want something different. And they might shake their wee feeders at me like that there for all that I have done. But do you know what? It doesn't make a blind bit of difference. Even if they use their little bodies to type out the word help with hundreds of little bodies, I probably wouldn't even see it. And it wouldn't make any difference. If people, even most of the people in this world, believe differently to God, it is not going to change one thing. Prophecies have been written. The word of God, Hebrews 13 says, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, one of his names is the word of God made flesh. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The words that he put down 2,000 years ago are still good. And the very next verse says, be not ignorant of this one thing. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. God is faithful. If it's in the book, if it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. That's all you need to worry about. But this shows us too, God's great love for us. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Even though he knows most folks in this world are going to die in their sins and go to hell, that is not God's will. God wants nobody in hell, everybody in heaven. But you see, free will flies in the face of God's will so often in this world. That's why people go to hell, because they chose to reject God. And that is the consequence of rejecting God. That's why people go to heaven, because they chose to accept God, and they will go to heaven as, can't call that a consequence, as a reward, as a consequence of getting saved. But there is coming a time. We mentioned this notion that people have that the world is going to run for millions and millions of years. The Bible says the world's only going to run for just around about 7,000, and that's about it. We're 6,000 up until this point. The Bible mentions 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation, and right after that, the Lord comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And for a little time after that, everybody gets a chance to make up their mind once and for all. And sadly, most folks choose the world, the flesh, and the devil again. But God says there is a time. There is a judgment time. There is the finish line. And the finish line is not the end of our lives. The finish line is whenever God says it is. He tells us how the world is going to end in a fervent heap with a great noise. That sounds like a huge bomb or a huge firestorm raging across the world. That will burn everything. There's not going to be any bunkers that survive. There's not going to be any suspended animation chambers that survive. The Mars outpost is not going to survive if we even get that far. But judgment's coming to everybody. And so the challenge is, knowing all of these things, knowing there is a creation, knowing that there's a need to be saved, and knowing that there's a lot of people that's just not going to get saved, God says to us, his children, what sort of person should we be? Should we just think, I got my ticket, my room is booked, I've got my holiday home in heaven booked forever, one of the mansions in heaven mentioned in John 14. I don't have to do anything. Just wait. That's all I have to do. I'm not going to make any comment about people folding their arms at the back of the church. But I'm just going to wait. That's just all that I'm going to do. And years of waiting go past with so many people that are saved, and they never do anything. doesn't affect their salvation. Although the book of James says, if you do not feel the urge, and I use those words in their best possible sense, if you do not feel constrained to do something for God, you really ought to look at your salvation and see what it is you put your faith in. Should we be good Christians? Should we be Secret Service Christians? Although that's looking more and more attractive with the government that we have right now. Should we be the crazy Christians that just go in with the flow? The crazy Christians that have relations in the States? I was sharing with William there that had a day of mourning in their church because Roe v. Wade was overturned and the government was making it more difficult to kill little babies. And the church was, they were so sad. That should have been a cause for rejoicing. How many hundreds of thousands of little children will take a breath of air and live simply because the government said, we are not taking it upon ourselves to decide which children live and which children die. We are going to make it difficult for baby murderers to be about their business. You know, friends, the day is coming. And if there is a thing that you would like to do for God, if there is a person that you would like to share the gospel with, I would say start praying about it and start making preparations for it. The best preparations, of course, are found in your hands and knees and in the Word of God, but what sort of person should we be? I remember many years ago, I was invited to a Christian stag weekend. I may have shared this with you. That sort of sounds almost like a contradiction in terms. But I was young. I ended up at the stag weekend, and there was a bit of carrying on, and no bad carrying on, just carrying on, and games and things like that. And then everybody decided to go out for a bite to eat. And all the Christians, all Christian men, they went to a pub. And they were all sitting, I wouldn't go in. I stood out in the entryway and waited for to be called into the dining room. And I looked in and there was a table of people drinking beer over there, and there was a table of people drinking beer over there, and another table of people drinking beer over there, and you wouldn't have known who the Christians were. You don't want to get mixed up with lost people. I know God wouldn't, but just say that whenever the Lord came back for us, he looked at what you were doing to decide what you were. Are you mine? Or are you his? What sort of person should we be? And we should know that. We should know that we're saved. And we should be able to stand up, just like the demoniac of Gadara when the Lord said, go back to your family and friends and tell them what great things God has done for you. We should be able to do that. We should be able to quote a wee bit of scripture. Because the scripture is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth in Romans chapter 1. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. And this is what God is saying. However, as we read on these next verses or two, we see the real problem that contemporary Christianity is suffering from. You don't have to look very much further. There's one name that's singing from a different hymn sheet these days, the Archbishop. Is it Justin Welby? That guy is a heretic. He is a Christ rejecter. If he had lived back in the days of the old prophets, he would have been hung from a tree and his remains burned and scattered to the four winds for pretending to be the great high priest of the people. It's people like him who are not spreading the word of God, that are wresting the scriptures, and not just to their own destruction, but they're like nuclear weapons. You know, the score bomb, a nuclear bomb doesn't just destroy what it hits, it destroys everything for miles around it, and that's what the likes of these people do, that come bringing another gospel. And one of the greatest letters from Paul to the churches is the letter to the church of Galatia. And the very first chapter of it, the first few verses say, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, even if he looks like an angel from heaven, he is to be accursed. He is to be anathema. And the reason for that is because this word, this King James Bible that was taken from the Textus Receptus, is so important. This word of God, every word of it is important, every doctrine of it is so important that God said, heaven and earth are going to pass away before my word passes away. Not one jot, not one tittle. In other words, not one comma or dot or piece of punctuation is going to disappear from my word until everything has been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. In heaven, we'll still be able to read the Bible. Sometimes I think that we'll sit with copies of the Bible, probably in our minds, not in our hands, but who knows. And God is going to explain in one of the best Bible studies that could take hundreds of years how every piece of Scripture connects to every other piece of Scripture, and they all preach the gospel message that God loves souls and that he paid the price of their salvation, our salvation. And that all you need to do to accept that payment, if you were a child, you would stick your hand out for the pound or the packet of sweets. You have an empty hand to receive a gift. You need an empty heart. A heart that you have repented of sins out of and left space to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of God Almighty until the very day that you stand in front of him. That's the simple gospel message. And it's open to anybody. You don't need a degree in theology to understand that. But there are people out there. And you don't have to go very far. Like a man called Jerry Leddy. I want to let you know that you're welcome to laugh or smirk whenever I mention this, because he's already told me that the people in his church laughed and smirked at the preaching of the cross. An old man who felt it was his burden to challenge those that were standing and preaching the gospel to the members of the LGBTQIAAM++ community, warning them of sin and judgment to come. Not saying, you are all going to die because you're queers. None of that. An open-handed invitation like God has for whosoever will to go to heaven when they die. When, not if. If they would just turn from their wicked ways and live. Just like the Lord said, what was it, Ezekiel 18:32? I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. In other words, I don't want people to go to hell. So God says, turn yourselves and live. There are people that twist the scriptures to keep themselves in power, like your man Welby, spinning yarns that they don't even want, is it the word church mentioned anymore? He wants people to go for walks in the country. He is actually bringing people right the way back to Romans 1, where they worship the creature, the creation, rather than the creator. And why does he do that? Because so many more people, you might notice the tables go down a wee bit in the church. Because if people are out for a walk, there'll be no plate out in the forest. There'll be nobody to put money in the plate but them. The aim of the Church of England, of the High Church, is not to see souls saved. They have millions and hundreds of millions in investments and pharmaceuticals and weapons and property and all that stuff. And that all came out about 10 or 15 years ago. They're only interested in keeping people out of a real gospel preaching church. That's what they're doing. And so they spin in this yarn. Well, we can be as close to God in the forest as we can in the church. Technically you're right. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. In Hebrews again it says, If you're able to be in church, you should be in church. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and the more so as you see the day approaching. And all that that man, that Antichrist, is doing is getting people out of church. I thought that the COVID pandemic did a much better job than he's going to do. And you can be guaranteed that the Episcopal Church in countries like Africa will probably burn him at the stake if he ever sets foot in their countries again, because they seem to be an awful lot more conservative. But we are now living in a country in the UK where there's a free-for-all for men's souls. And the government is working against God. And it's not like the First and the Second World War, where it's maybe a toss-up between the Germans and the Allies. When you pick a fight with God, you're going to lose. We all did. We all did in our sin, and we all lost, and we all threw ourselves at the mercy of God at the foot of the cross and begged him to save us. Not these people. If you look at many of the churches that are out there, the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists, they say that Jesus was just the Archangel Michael. He wasn't the Creator. But the Bible says he was. But they twist the Scriptures. And they make it so that if you're not in church on the Sabbath day, which is a Saturday, well, you're an Antichrist then. Whereas the modern church follows meeting together, like the disciples did in the upper room, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which was Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Day. I don't care how or when you worship God, as long as you worship him in spirit and in truth. There are people out there that will tell you other yarns. I think there is a great little verse that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you ever come across that verse? And they seem to twist that, and they seem to think that godliness is equal to great gain and contentment. And that's not the Scriptures. Jesus himself said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. How many wealthy people in this world, and I have no problem with people being wealthy, enjoy your money, enjoy your assets, whatever it is they might be. But the assets have claws of their own and bend themselves in tight and get a grip of them so much that they are brought completely under the power of them. They have become servants to money and power and belonging. The health and wealth and prosperity gospel is probably the worst culprit. If you're not healthy, you must be doing something wrong. If you're not wealthy, you have failed badly as a Christian. If you are not wise, well then you're a complete and utter failure, and you don't deserve to be in the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. You don't. If you're in hospital, there's no hope for you. Imagine telling that to somebody who has spent their life in the church faithfully, putting money in the plate, warming a chair, singing God's praises, helping you out whenever they could, and whenever they are down on their knees, whenever they are out for the count, when their body is failing, and you tell them the reason that's happening to you is because you're not a good Christian. What does that do to people? Too late, it opens their eyes to the way those men and women have twisted the Scriptures and burned their lives and their vitality and their money just to keep themselves warm. We're seeing the same with governments that twist their own rules to suit themselves. Those wicked and evil people that seem to be so very familiar with the corridors of power in our country and in all the countries around the world seem to have absolutely no trouble at all twisting any law to suit themselves. And it costs people their lives. A secularly. It literally costs people their freedom and their lives. I think somebody said a hurtful word about a police dog and find themselves with 20 months in jail. And the only reason the likes of Rowan Atkinson and co. is not locked up is because people would notice. They don't like the thought of Mr. Bean going to jail. We laugh about it, but that's about it. Or what do you call your man that used to do the motor show, Jeremy Clarkson? He's now coming out and speaking against it. And the only reason they're not going to jail is because they're too famous. Friends, this is happening. And it's one of the reasons why the Bible says in the last days there will be a great falling away. It's one of the reasons why the Bible talks about the love of many growing cold, because they will countenance sin. Instead of getting rid of sin or being opposed to sin, many Christians today accept it. They're good mates with it. They can sit down beside it. And it doesn't seem to cause them any consternation whatsoever. And we need to be opposed to it. Probably a lifelong job, let me tell you. But we need to be opposed to sin. You will be done opposing sin when you stand in front of God with no sin nature. And he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Even to the greatest of backsliders, even for a soul that was saved out of a church that never did anything, but at least they got saved, the Lord has said, you beat the world, the flesh, and the devil to repent of your sins and trust in me as your Savior. Well done. I'll be looking around, but Lord, I didn't do anything else. He says, yeah, but you beat the world, the flesh, and the devil to get saved, didn't you? He says, I did. Well, come on in. That's all that you need to do to get into heaven. We can't do anything else about anybody else. We were reading this morning in John chapter 21. Whenever the Lord was dealing with Peter about rejecting him three times, and he went through it, he said, you know what, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And he forgave him the three times, and he eased his guilty conscience, and he forgave him the rejection. And then once the weight was off of his shoulders, and he could think more clearly, he said, what about John? Well, it doesn't matter about John. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. You follow me. And that's it. And that's all that the Lord asks us to do. To follow him. Sometimes that means not following our own desires or ambitions. But I am going to tell you something. God's way is the best way. No matter what the situation, you might lose some face, you might lose some money, you might lose some assets. But God's way is the best way in the long term. It's better on you physically. It's better on you mentally. It's better on you spiritually. And not only that, when God sees that you are honoring him, do you know how many of God's promises to us personally are all based upon us turning up in the throne room of heaven and saying, right, God, what's next? Do you know how many of them? The verse that I learned from the men's bathroom is Isaiah 40:31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord. That's how most of God's blessings start. They that wait upon the Lord. In this case, it says, shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles. So run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. I think twice is in the Psalms and in 2 Samuel, where it talks about God setting my feet on my high places, making my feet like hinds' feet, helping me to run through a troop and to climb over a wall. When we wait on him, when we put our faith in him, whenever the world is pointing one way and we go God's way, there's blessings, there's power, there's peace, there's fellowship, there's contentment, there's purpose. There's everything that we need when we follow God. We might be saying, but Lord, if I do that, I'll not be able to afford a sports car. I'll not be able to afford a house on the Culmore Road. I'll not be able to afford a new yacht this year. You have to be a communist dictator for that, as Mr. Zelensky showed when he obtained a couple of, I think it was Vladimir Putin's, for to meet the modest sum of $75 million, sorry. I'm just waiting for Keir Starmer to announce that he's purchased a new yacht with how many millions that have suddenly fell into his back pocket. I'm going to be really, really... if I get locked up, you know the reason why. Has anyone ever heard of a fellow called Father Ted? And the reason he ended up on the back of Beyond was because he was some of the church's money was in his account. And his excuse was, it was only resting in my account. I can always see Keir Starmer. I would like to buy a new yacht. I've got 30 million in my pocket. But it's only resting there for a little bit. This will be for the taxpayer, almost. Yeah, anyway, that's my worldly step aside. How would you know if someone was telling you a lie? Would you know from their clothes? Might not. Would you know from the way they walk? From the way, the accent they have? Their haircut? They have a nice briefcase. They say they have a great education. How would you know if someone was telling you a lie? You know by knowing the truth. This old book has got all the truth that you need in it. And whenever you need any portion of this old book, if you have read it, if you have studied it, if you have listened to preaching on it, the Lord reserves the right to remind you of it when you need it. He says, take no thought how or what you shall say when you're delivered up, for in that same hour will be given you what you shall say, and it will not be you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. You need to know what God says. You need to read it and study it. Keep the coals warm up there in your mind. So that whenever you do need it, and friends, believe you me, we are all going to need the Word of God before the night is out. The devil says one thing, or the TV says something else, or your neighbour says something else, and the internet says something else, and maybe the Pope says something else, and Billy Graham says something else. You can say, you guys, bunch of liars. God says. God said. Is it Romans 8:31 that says, let God be true and every man a liar? It's not just to prove yourself right in a point with a discussion or a debate or an argument or a temptation. It is to walk with God. And that is the best, easiest life in the soul that a person can ask for, and it is the straight and the narrow road that leads to life, and that is where you want to be. I often think as I read Revelation 20, and I'm reading it the other day there, how many of the souls that John saw standing before the great white throne of judgment, the small and great, many archbishops and popes and church leaders, stand there, naked and ashamed, before the Creator of the universe, flanked by their congregations, and all the people that listened to them, lied to them through their teeth, and told them everything would be okay. I often wonder about that. And that is one of the things that makes me speak up and talk to people about their souls. It's not an important thing. It's the most important thing, and it's going to be the only thing that bars or allows entry into heaven. Keep your head in the book. wasn't somebody said, it's very hard to fall when you're on your hands and knees in prayer. But God will keep you right. That's all there is to it. Just tell the truth. Don't trust it for advantage. The only advantage is people hearing the truth. That there's a God that loves souls and yours is one of them when you're talking to someone. And I'm going to stop there. I appreciate your time very much indeed. I hope that was a wee help to you. Just tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Amen. We are going to close the service this evening with the words of hymn number 38 in the wee black book. This is "How Apt, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Amen. If you're able, let's stand as we sing, folks. Joyful noise. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amen. Said, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Let's close with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time set aside from the world. Please continuously remind us and don't be done with this, Lord. Help us to set a good example and appoint souls to heaven. We just love you and praise you. Pray that you would see us safely here and back at the next appointed time. Please look after our brethren right the way across the world. Bless and keep Israel. And Lord, even now be working in the hearts and minds of those that love Israel, and help them keep them, and oppose those that hate them, Lord, at every turn. Thank you for loving us and saving our souls, and for the freedom we still have here, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gents and ladies, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.